Hello, everybody. Welcome to, what's the name of the show? What did we decide?
What is the name of the show?
It's
Disney Bros.
Disney Bros. : A Whole New World. Let's go with that. my name is Jason Ryan.
I'm Colin Teal.
And we are your hosts. So basically the show, it's the first episode, is us. We're pretty bro-ish.
Couple of bros
talking about Disney movies, specifically the Disney animated films.
The Walt Disney animated classics canon.
Yes, to put it succinctly. So, you know, every week we're going to watch a new movie. This week we started at the obvious starting point, which is the very first one, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yep.
And so we're going to give them, after this little opening breather, we're going to come back and talk about the movie, our thoughts, the bro-ness of it, etc., etc. But, yeah, so let's take a little bit of a sound snippet, give you a taste of the movie, and then come back and launch into it here on the show, Disney Bros, : A Whole New World.
Mirror, come from the farther space. Through wind and darkness, I summon thee. Speak. Let me see thy face.
What wouldst thou know, my queen?
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Famed is thy beauty, Majesty. But hold, a lovely maid I see. Rags cannot hide her gentle grace. Alas, she is more fair than thee.
Alas for her. Reveal her name.
Lips red as the rose, hair black as ebony, skin white as snow.
All right, we're back with Disney Bros. So, you know, we figured the obvious starting place when talking about Disney films in any given week is going to be the history of the production and sort of where it came from. That's because that's what we wonder about everything in this world.
Yes.
Where did we all come from? Why are we here?
I heard that.
And since, particularly with Snow White, since it's the very first Disney animated feature film, there's probably a wealth of history information.
Yes.
So, Colin, you did more of the research. You're the historian of the two of us.
Yeah. We'll just give you a taste of how it all came together and how it almost didn't.
Whoa. I'm intrigued already.
Yes.
So, launch into it, bro.
So, this was the first Disney feature-length film, first one Walt Disney ever produced. Up until that point, they'd just been doing, like, a lot of short stuff.
Steamboat Willie!
Precisely.
For example.
Yes. So it was the first one he ever produced. It was the first feature-length animated film produced in America. First one in color. They did it in Technicolor. Word up. And as mentioned, first one in the Walt Disney animated classics canon.
Wow.
It's based on a Brothers Grimm story, which of course was darker than this wound up being. Because those dudes didn't play around.
No, they didn't. Brothers Grimm didn't play, son.
Disney Bros Grimm. but the early emphasis for Walt Disney and his writers was on the dwarfs, because they thought they were, like, going to be the best characters and the most exciting thing to watch. A lot of gags, a lot of sight gags, a lot of antics, a lot of stupid jokes.
A lot of tomfoolery.
A lot of tomfoolery, yeah. Chock full of tomfoolery. And they wound up actually considering as many as, like, or even more than 50 different possible characters for the dwarfs, including, but not limited to, Jumpy, Deffy.
Oh my god, that's offensive.
Dizzy, Hickey,
all right.
Wheezy, Baldy, Gabby, Nifty, Sniffy, who I assume was a real Coke fiend, Swift, out of the blue,
uh-huh.
Lazy, Puffy, Stuffy, Tubby, Shorty, and my personal favorite, Burpee.
Burpee. Christ almighty.
But they wound up, the earliest confirmed were Doc, Grumpy, Bashful, Sleepy, and Happy. And eventually they added Sneezy and Dopey. And Dopey, apparently, like the mute one who has questionable
intelligence levels.
Intelligence levels, yeah.
I want to talk about that later.
I think we'll dig into that a little bit later. He's actually one of the most popular dwarfs among Snow White fans.
Aficionados.
Yes.
Snow aficionados. Jinx. Oh, bro time.
I can't talk for the rest of the show.
Nope. Thanks, God.
Okay.
Anyway.
The visuals in this were, you'll see, like, if you're a movie nerd, you'll see, like, German expressionism within this thing. And, like, they really nerded out, and I guess, like, they started development in 34, and it wasn't put out until 37, so they worked on this sucker for a long time. And, yeah, like, Disney really encouraged all his writers and animators to watch a bunch of different things and, you know, really get a broad take filmically. And his brother, Roy Disney, and his wife really encouraged him to not make the movie. They tried to talk him out of making it.
What the fuck?
I know. His wife, quote, said, "No one's ever going to pay a dime to see a dwarf picture."
Wow. She really ate her words when Wizard of Oz came out.
Suck
probably.
On it. Suck on it, Lillian. Sorry. Lillian. That was a little, yeah.
Lillian. Fuck you, Lillian.
Yeah, return in your grave, bitch. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy. But the pre-production budget on this thing was $250,000. The actual final budget was almost $1.5 million in 36 or 37.
How did they gross? Is that available?
It is. We'll get to that.
Thank you, sir.
But Disney actually had to mortgage his house for it. So Lillian probably had a good case for not making it.
Mm-hmm.
It was widely referred to as Disney's folly during production before it released. It premiered in December 1937. Nationwide release in February 38. And everybody fucking loved it. They flipped out for it. Charlie Chaplin was at the premiere, Shirley Temple, Judy Garland, Fred McMurray, Clark Gable, among many others.
Whoa. Star-studded.
Disney and the Dwarfs were on Time Magazine the week after the premiere.
What? That's googie talk.
and let's see here. The original release grossed $6.5 million worldwide on a budget of $1.5 million.
It made its money back then.
It was the all-time highest gross until Gone with the Wind, like, the next year.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah. God damn it.
Scarlett O'Hara?
Yeah. Uppity. All right. But the lifetime gross for this thing is at $185 million.
Dang.
Adjusted for inflation, it's still one of the top 10 in movie history.
Well, ain't that a kick in the pants?
It sure is.
Oh,
Charlie Chaplin and Sergei Eisenstein both love this movie. Eisenstein called it the greatest film ever made, if you can believe that.
That's crazy.
That's high praise.
Certainly not true, but...
supposedly inspired MGM to produce Wizard of Oz later on. Orson Welles allegedly took staging cues and used it in Citizen Kane from this movie.
Huh.
I didn't see that.
That's hard to believe.
But really, like, what it comes down to, I think, is that if not for this movie, you probably don't get the rest of the Disney features. Like, if this movie had totally bombed like everybody thought it was going to, you wouldn't have seen Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, Bambi, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, all of which used, like, money from this one to be produced. And the money from this built the original Burbank studio that's still the Walt Disney Studios today. So without Snow White, you might not have Disney at all.
Well, dang it.
Not like we know it now.
Well, you're like the Ken Jennings of the show.
Thank you.
Some nice factoids there.
Suck on it, Watson.
I applaud your research efforts, because I certainly didn't do much.
1 hour of research, you got it right there.
All right, man. Well, good to have a little bit of a backstory going into this discussion of the film. So where to begin? Because, I mean, a lot of thoughts kept, you know, coming to mind as this movie was rolling. I guess since the show is Disney Bros, I guess the bro factor in this movie is a good starting point.
The bro mentality.
Yeah, the bro mentality. So, you know, who's the broiest... Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the broiest of them all?
I think we both agreed on this one pretty easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, far and away, Grumpy gets bro number one prize for me.
Yeah, Grumpy is sort of like the everyman bro. Like, he, you know, has the most, like, sort of traditional values in terms of, women are only good for, you know, shutting up and cooking and cleaning.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, true in the movie.
I heard that, Grumpy.
So, yeah, Grumpy's definitely into bro-ish.
Yeah, like, one line that really attests to Grumpy's bro-ness is when they finally discover Snow White, after much to do, they unveil her from under the sheets in their bedroom where she was taking a nap. Wink, wink. And he says, "She's female, and all females is poison."
Yeah, there you go. That's Grumpy. That's Grumpy in a nutshell. And sort of the traditional sort of cultural view of bros, I think, whether or not it's correct.
Yeah.
You know, I think bro, the word bro and, like, dudes have this sort of connotation of being, you know, like I said, chicken eating, beer drinking, sort of sexist, quasi-sexist, boob-hungry dudes. Some of that's true.
Hungry for boobs.
Yeah, and Grumpy kind of, you know, falls into that line.
Of course, I mean, he's not a one-dimensional character.
Well, he's as much as any of the dwarves
are. Okay, I'll take that back. He's dynamic. He changes. He sort of sees the light a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
And then...
just like bros. Bros learn their lessons, too.
Exactly. The Huntsman's also a little bit bro-y. He got a little less bro-y once he kind of pussied out. And
didn't murder a woman.
didn't murder a woman.
What a bitch.
But it was interesting watching this movie... thinking about, like, sort of what followed it and sort of how a lot of archetypes and, you know, basically it sort of set the model for most Disney animated movies. I would say all the rest of them, with the exception of maybe it's like Chicken Little or something that came super, super later, but all those sort of princess Disney movies really just kind of followed the formula for this movie, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and like a... much more modern contemporary movie, like looking at Enchanted. It's not in the canon, but it's like almost, you know, almost all of its little cues as far as what it brings into the human world are out of Snow White.
What was your note about Enchanted?
What did I say?
It was quite amusing when you wrote it down.
Oh yeah, there's a scene toward the beginning of Snow White where she's singing into the well and the echo's coming back, and she's like singing this particular melody, and it's the same one that Enchanted uses. And I think I said, during the movie I said Enchanted bit this shit, and they did. They did bite this shit.
Yes, they did. Anyway, so let's see here. Another thing that came to mind watching this was kind of how fucked up it was in terms of, not just necessarily traditional values, because that's a whole other can of worms, but just it's pretty intense. Like, imagining, like, the youth of 1937 seeing this movie, being scared shitless. I mean, like, there's a scene at the beginning where Snow White, you know, is almost murdered by the huntsman, and she's tripping out, and then she, like, goes into this, like, little... sort of through the looking glass moment where she's in the woods and it's all dark and freaky and she's tripping balls. And that actually ended up being, that's my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, it's this pretty whacked out thing, and that's where you'll see a lot of the, like, massive German expressionistic style shadows.
The cabinet of Dr. Kalkai.
Exactly, what he said. Mm-hmm. With that accent.
Yep.
But yeah, it's pretty nuts. Oh, but the thing I took away from that, one of the things I took away from that, and this isn't very bro-y of me, I guess, but, like, you can tell the movie was written by men about this woman. And, like, she is threatened with murder, and then the presumed murderer, like, lets her go and tells her to run away because she's going to be killed. And she just sits there, like, wide-eyed for, like, 5 minutes not running away as he's encouraging her over and over to run away. And then she goes into this hysterical hallucination.
Yeah, she's, like, mouth agape, dumbfounded. Yeah. While we're on the subject of sort of... mouth agapeness. Let's talk about the Disney princess hot factor, which we shall probably always refer to it as.
Sure.
You know, would you tap that, as it were?
We're talking Snow White. I would. I think she's real cute. And I'll say this. This is what I took away from the movie. And I think you got beef with her body.
Well, she's not physically my type.
Okay.
She's a little too skinny for me.
I think
like a curvier girl.
I think she's got a really cute face. Mm-hmm. Her body leaves something to be desired.
Well, yes.
But this is 1937. They're not going to, like, put a giant rack on this, like...
No.
cartoon character.
Yeah, but see, the weird thing
she's not
was...
Mae West, for God's
sake. Yeah, you're right. The thing was, though, the queen, pre-weird spell where she's all fucking old and shrivelly,
mm-hmm.
The queen is way more tappable, I think. Like, she's actually got a little bit of a rack. She has sort of like an Angelica Houston kind of like goth girl vibe going on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like young, attractive Angelica Houston, though, before she got weird.
Oh, you don't mean like 65-year-old Angelica Houston?
Yeah. But no, I think, you know, overall I would say, eh, it's a Snow White. I wouldn't kick her out of bed, but I also wouldn't, like,
you know. Get out of my bed, Snow White.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, like, grumpy where he literally kicks her out of bed.
No, I think, I appreciate what you're saying. I think she's, like, she's got that kind of cuteness that I like. She's girlfriend material, I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things we're hoping to accomplish with the show, after all 50 animated films are discussed, we'll get to that sort of ultimate Disney princess in terms of attractiveness.
We're going to have a number one by the time
we're going to duke it out. We'll have sort of like an NCAA men's college basketball tournament bracket system.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a good idea.
All right. Let's do it. Look for that on the website.
We should make a bracket tonight and then just like go one against the other. I like it.
Yeah, because there's nothing more sexist than literally pitting women against each other in terms of attractiveness.
Based on physical image.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, these are cartoon characters.
Needless to say, if you haven't figured out, by the way, listeners, you know, even though the show's about Disney animated movies, it's got Disney in the title. We're dudes. You know, we're 20-something-year-old dudes. We swear. We're going to say the word pussy from time to time.
Boy.
It's not necessarily a kid-friendly podcast. So if you haven't noticed that thus far, if you were searching for Disney in the iTunes directory and you happen to stumble upon this,
we're sorry.
We're sorry. You know, go to Disney.com, plan a vacation to Walt Disney World.
Disney's awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is not an anti-Disney podcast by any means. We just thought it would be good fodder for a weekly podcast, that's all.
Before we move on from Princess Hotness,
oh, yeah.
Nala's got a real good chance with me.
Who?
Nala.
I don't know who that is.
You don't
is.
Remember Nala? I think that's Simba's lady from The Lion King.
Well, we'll get to that another week.
I like the feline ladies.
I'm going to go ahead and tease this right now. I've never seen The Lion King.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yes. Joke's on you, buddy. I have seen it. No, I've never seen The Lion King. So when we get to that film, it's going to be a real crazy day.
It's a good show.
I know.
Frankly, like after having seen some clips from it recently,
mm-hmm.
namely during the White House Correspondents' Dinner, I want to watch it again, and I would totally go see the musical of The Lion King.
You know, I've always kind of contemplated that seeing that would be the biggest disaster that's ever happened.
Keep in mind, bro show.
Yeah, exactly. Bros.
Broadway musicals.
Well, to get it back to Broland, I guess, one of the things we were thinking we can mention in terms of all these films is sort of good food pairings, like bro-y food pairings. You know, say you're stuck watching this movie with, like, your wiener nephews or something. And, you know, or your stupid
my damn wiener nephews.
And you're like, oh, great, I have to watch Snow White for the 8 billionth time. How can I spice this up? How can I make this a little more fun? Since this movie seems to be sort of set maybe Bavaria, maybe Holland.
It's a Brothers... Well, that's... Yeah, she was wearing clogs at one point. Mm. I didn't know what that was all about, but it's a Brothers Grimm story. Yeah. You know, you could go Germany and be safe. Germany and Austria.
I was definitely getting, like, a bratwurst slash, like, nice beer vibe.
I'm feeling that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say go with that.
I was thinking that you could do some apple-themed stuff, given the central role of the apple.
The apple.
And our fall from grace.
Maybe like a nice apple streusel.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
And more than that, if you were watching it with kids who were easily influenced, you could like pass out apples toward the end of the movie and see how they react.
Oh,
that
good would be idea.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Nothing's more fun than reminding children
and
of their mortality.
You could really poison them.
Okay.
Oh boy. I should point out I'm allergic to apples though, so I couldn't partake in any of these hypothetical situations.
You might pull a Snow White.
Yeah, I might pull a Snow White and die.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, well, so getting into the story aspect. I mean, I'm assuming everybody listening to this, everybody on planet Earth is pretty much has probably seen this movie.
Probably.
At some point in
their life. People would assume that everybody's seen The Lion King, too, so.
Yeah, but you never know. I guess, like, a rehash of the story is maybe necessary, or at least helpful in making sense of this goddamn thing. But so basically, you know, real nutshell version, princess getting pretty, coming into her own, you know, kind of, you know, like I said, personally to me, kind of hot still, but getting up there in years,
the queen.
Mm-hmm. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, you know, fairest of all. We all know that shit.
Who's the fairest one of all, mirror?
And then it's like, hey, it's Snow White. Queen's like, that's not cool, my man. It's supposed to be me. She goes apeshit, has the huntsman go kill her. Huntsman fucks it up, lets her go free, hangs out in the woods, meets the seven dwarves. They all become bros.
And the wildlife, they all band together. Yeah. It's a big, happy family.
The wildlife cannot be discounted.
Absolutely not.
And then, you know, the queen finds out she didn't really die, disguises herself as some old-ass hag, comes traipsing through the wood. By the way, via one of the coolest things ever,
yeah,
which is this sort of dungeon-accessed river moat, like, boat launch thing, which is fucking cool.
Yeah. Well, and before that, one of my favorite scenes is the whole poison-mixing transformation scene. That shit is nuts.
There's some kooky shit in this movie.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of creepy shit, like, the whole heart and the box thing is weird.
Yeah, it is.
Like, one of my notes literally was just like, heart in a box equals fucked up.
This is how the queen requires proof from the huntsman that Snow White is dead.
Mm-hmm.
She asks him to bring back her heart in a box. That's
hard.
That is cold.
I feel like Disney movies have gotten softer over the years.
Yeah, I think so. Coming from that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's some, like, weirdly fucked up shit in Tangled.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe they're staying a little bit more faithful to the source material.
Yeah.
Because that stuff's heavy. Like, it's just got some real serious scare tactics going on.
Well, I don't know the original story of Rapunzel. Not to get off on Tangled too much, because that'll be another time. But, you know, I think the story of Rapunzel probably has some sort of badassness to it, too.
Yes, of course.
That probably explains it. Yeah. Good stuff, bro. Anywho, so I think, did we just cover the story pretty much?
Apple die. Yes, the queen turns into the witch, tries to poison Snow White, succeeds, but caveat to this spell that she cast on the apple, mm-hmm. True love's first kiss, that's what it is, can Lazarus this girl out of her death.
Lazarus, nice pull, guy.
And so that's what happens. The queen, witch, gets chased by the animals and the dwarfs off of a cliff. She mm-hmm. presumably dies. A couple of vultures close in. It's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
That scene's pretty dark as well. And, you know, not to spoil it for you, but, you know, Snow White dies, and let's just say it's a happy ending.
Yeah. While we were watching the film, while we're recapping the plot... there's a point where the queen falls off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You said that in connection with the original story?
Oh, yeah,
talk about
yeah.
that a little bit? I was curious about that.
So, in the original Brothers Grimm story, which I haven't read, admittedly, but I noted a couple, via Wikipedia, thanks Wikipedia, noted a couple differences between the original story and the movie. And so what happens in the story is... in the movie, the Prince Charming, who factors very, very, very slightly in the movie. He's hardly in it at all.
He has
two scenes.
Very minor. Mm-hmm. Minor.
He's minor. we'll get to the minors later.
Shout out to Chili.
Okay. That's too much.
too soon.
But what happens is Prince Charming comes and kisses Snow White. She wakes up. Via the loophole and the curse, and she ditches out on the dwarfs and goes off to live with the prince.
Mm-hmm.
In the original story, it's not the kiss that wakes up Snow White. She coughs up an apple piece when she's being taken back to the castle by the prince. And when she coughs up the piece of apple, she comes back to life. The queen doesn't die after poisoning her. But she is forced to attend the wedding in hot iron shoes, which is the supposed like old torture technique.
Hmm.
And she winds up dying as a result of it from the burns on her feet that she gets.
That's pretty fucked
up. Yeah, exactly. And the queen tries to poison Snow White twice before that. Once with, I can't remember what the first one is, but one of them's a poison comb.
Huh.
Pretty interesting.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say hats off to Disney for flipping the script on that, because I feel like, I mean, the film ending has some problems with it,
mm-hmm.
but it's better than, you know, fucking burning up feet.
Yeah, that would be pretty rough for a child to watch, yeah. I think.
Well, I mean, so while we're on the subject of the ending,
yeah,
I kind of had some beef with, you know, the treatment of the dwarves. So, I mean, political correctness aside, because, yeah, it's 37, dwarves probably weren't super accepted in society as being just, like, you know, legit members of mm-hmm. society. So that aside, you know, the treatment of them as just characters is kind of shitty at the end of this thing.
I agree completely.
Because, like, you know, at first they're a little reticent about, you know, Snow White in general. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, who's this lady in our house?
They think she's a monster.
They think she's a monster.
Rightly so.
right, bro? Right, fellas?
I heard that.
But then, you know, they warm up to her, vice versa, and, you know, they all become friends. Even Grumpy gets in on the, you know, action. Which we'll talk about that a little bit later, because yeah. I have a theory behind Grumpy.
I like this, yeah.
We'll get into that in a second. But one thing at a time. But so, you know, they form this little bond, and the dwarves are really, like, connected to Snow White, probably more so than any other character. Because we barely see her interacting with the prince. I mean, they have one song together at the beginning, and he sort of is just, he doesn't keep up with her, he doesn't check on her.
Yeah.
He's not like, hey, where's Snow White been
he's
for
like,
the last...
He's like, oh, there was that one woman I hung out with that one time yeah. in the courtyard, and we sung to each other.
Yeah, he's not, like, ooh. Searching for her on horseback, he doesn't round up a posse to try to find his beloved, right. you know, first love. He's just kind of like, ah, well, whatever, I haven't seen her in a couple days.
I got all these other women chasing yeah. me.
And so, as the type of guy who is more of a dwarf in terms of... personality traits. Like, you know, well, let's just go ahead and say this right now. I would probably be closest to Grumpy sure. in the dwarves.
Yeah.
And you, sir?
Oh, shoot.
Which dwarf would you be?
I don't know. Sleepy mostly lately.
Yeah. I mean, but the annoying thing about Sleepy's, though, is that he very rarely sleeps. They don't let the motherfucker sleep.
I know. Sleepy's not allowed to sleep. Sneezy's not allowed to sneeze. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on among these dwarfs. They don't allow themselves to just be who they are. It's yeah, in their fucking name, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, a lot of times they, like, try to quelch their sort of natural inclinations. Yeah.
If I had a nickel for all the times they don't let Sneezy sneeze...
You would have a lot of nickels,
I'd have at least 17 nickels.
Yeah, and that was kind of obnoxious. But, you know, the dwarves are very loyal. Let me just say that much. They're loyal... They're very loving,
yeah,
supportive types.
They take her into their home.
Mm-hmm.
They let her sleep on the bed. They stay downstairs sleeping in fucking cauldrons and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they really go out of their way for her.
Yeah.
And when it comes time, you know, they, like, when she's dead, what am I trying to say? They carry out a constant vigil at her coffin.
Yeah.
For God knows how long.
Yeah. It's kind of implied that it's a long time.
Yeah,
honestly.
It is implied that it's quite a long time. And they yeah. just chill out. They're constantly sad. And, like, everybody's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Prince rolls up one day. He's been there for, what, 10 minutes? Gives her a smooch and takes her away. He picks up the dwarves to have him kiss him on the head when she's sitting on the horse.
Very, like, belittling.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's like, look, you're tiny people. I'm going to lift you up to get yeah. one last smooch from the woman that I'm taking away from you.
Yeah.
Who and you've dedicated your life to.
And I actually kind of, like, it kind of genuinely touched me, that scene, and, like, riled me up because, you know, full disclosure here, if we're going to, like, bro it out and have some genuine bro time... You know, I would say, like, I'm pretty loyal in relationships. I'm pretty loyal to a fault to my partner at the time. And, you know, I'm reading too much into this, obviously, because it's like the dwarves aren't actually having a romantic relationship with Snow mm-hmm. White. But I'm just sort of saying hypothetically, you know, metaphorically.
They're dedicated.
They're dedicated.
Yeah, it's a relationship.
And, you know, to see this, like, young, tall, you know, Prince Charming, literally,
mm-hmm.
roll up. And just, like, steal her away after these guys put in the work?
No questions asked?
That's weird. I've been that in a relationship before, where it's like, I put in the work to sort of maintain this thing with the girl, and then some young, you know, young guy, some young, dude.
Young up and up. Yep. That's not a word.
No. let's get with it. Strolls up and, you know, on horseback, metaphorically speaking, takes her away. That ain't cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So, bro, lesson number one out of this thing would just be, don't be a Prince Charming.
Yeah, please.
I mean, if there's a dwarf in the picture who has put in the work, you know, put in the loyalty, he's kept the visual by this, you know, girl's side.
Yeah.
Let him just have that vigil. That's his department, man.
Fuck Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I was going. That's what I was hitting it. I was beating around the bush, but
let's cut to the chase.
Fuck Lance Armstrong. Hey, so real quick, while it's on my mind, is Dopey supposed to be handicapped?
That's tough.
Because I can't tell.
Again, it was a different time. It's hard to know exactly how that was approached.
Yeah.
He definitely gives the appearance of not being all there.
Yeah. Well,
he communicates well. He doesn't speak, but he communicates. He understands what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. He's very happy.
He's kind of like the Harpo of the bunch.
He is the Harpo of the bunch.
But Harpo was a little retarded. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think there's only really one way to take that. I don't think in the context of the movie they're like, hey, this is the little retarded character. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Let's all have a laugh at his expense.
No,
but he's a really lovable dude. I mean, like, it's. I think Dopey, you would take him as just being kind of the dumb one of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did go a little overboard with making him look.
Yeah. Like, he's mildly, like...
He's childish.
He kind of has like an autistic vibe, honestly. Mm-hmm. And like, so that's kind of where it came from, was the thought that, maybe this guy is actually supposed to be a character of more of a handicapped dude.
He's the only dwarf without a beard. He's got two little hairs sprouting out of his head. He looks like a child. Yeah. Like, even if they don't mean to make him, you know, seem mentally handicapped, they do make him out to be like a child.
Yeah. Speaking of looking like a child, how old do you think Snow White's supposed to be? Because I was wondering that halfway through this thing. And her voice, too.
Yeah.
I don't know the voice actress that played Snow White. Maybe you have some info on it.
I do.
She sounds pretty young sometimes. Like, when she first started talking, I was like, she sounds like she could be, like, 16 or 17. Yeah,
and she's got that crazy high-pitched singing voice. Mm-hmm. I would guess 15, 16. And I think in the
character?
Character. In the context of the story, I could see that being true as well. Because, I mean, princes and princesses married young then, didn't they?
Yeah. Isn't that right? And I guess, like, it's supposed to be true love's first kiss. So,
sure, yeah.
You know, true love probably would be creeping up into the mid-teens.
Shoot, really? Is that when you discover true love?
No. I think people like to think they do, but...
Yeah, sure. Oh, no, I thought so.
Wise and men.
I thought so when I was 17, but...
Yeah.
It's a different thing. Wow, let's not get into
this. Let's not go down memory lane just yet. You got some info on the real voice actress?
Snow White was voiced by Adriana Castellotti.
Italian.
She was 2021 when she recorded the voice for this stuff. So she was young, but, you know, just had a really high-pitched voice.
All right. Well, that,
But it doesn't seem like, I don't think it was an affectation at all because... There's a little bit here on Wikipedia about her talking about how Jack Benny wanted to use her on his radio show. And Walt Disney, just like out and out denied it. He said he wouldn't let him because he didn't want that voice of Snow White to be spoiled by using it anywhere else. Like, he was really possessive of it after this came out. So
I wonder if she had any sort of animosity towards Disney for that because,
I'm sure she did okay for herself. I'm sure she
took the bread out of her mouth for a while.
I don't know. I doubt it. She became like a Disney legend, which is apparently a big deal. I mean, like, that's an actual title.
Wow.
She has a couple of uncredited roles. Like, she was in The Wizard of Oz.
Really in The Wizard of Oz or just voice?
She's voice. Voice of Juliet during the Tin Man song, If I Only Had a Heart. I don't know who Juliet is in that shit.
I don't know either.
And she sings in Martini's Bar in It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, ain't that something.
Some cool stuff. Uncredited again, but I'm sure she got paid.
Yeah, that's cool. It'd be interesting to see what she really looks like. We should probably Google image her at some point.
Good idea.
Speaking of her voice, though, one of my favorite quotes from you while we were watching this movie was at one point you referred to Snow White as a trill-ass bitch, which made me laugh uncontrollably hard.
Yes, it did. Well, in my defense, she, like, her singing voice was really intense.
It was very trill.
Yeah. It was so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and do you want to hear some quotes from you while we're at it?
Sure. I guess this is a segment of the show we'll have.
We're going to quote each other.
We're going to quote each other. That's how much we love our own words. We're going to just quote each other.
You declared the queen fuckable pretty early on.
Nice.
We might want to cut some of these quotes. When Dopey was the first one to be sent upstairs to, like, guinea pig.
Oh, Christ.
To scout out what they thought was a haunted house when it was just Snow White upstairs. Jason said, Dopey gets first dibs on that boon.
We are idiots. That's one thing. I mean, to introduce, you know, this first episode will be a good introduction to ourselves.
Oh, Jesus.
We're idiots.
Well, yeah.
We are frequently just dumb. So, get used to it.
Oh, shit. Do you want to give this line here?
Okay.
This is a couple from Jason. This first one's actually between Jason and I. This is after Snow White died, and they had her little vigil going. Jason said, oh, that's an elegant little death room they've got set up there. To which I said, yeah, they keep it constantly ready. Mining is difficult, dangerous work.
And that was really
funny. Jason thought that was hilarious.
I was laughing for a long time at that. That was pretty good.
And then there were a bunch of crying animals outside the house after she died. And Jason said, nothing kills a boner like crying animals.
That is true, though.
That's a true story.
Yeah, because I had a boner up until that scene.
I love sharing a couch with you.
Oh, yes.
But seriously, like, getting real for a second, that scene was really, really, like, actually really effective.
Which scene? The scene where they're looking in?
Yeah, the scene where, the beginning of the vigil, where they're, the dwarves are all standing around and they're very sad, and then the animals crying outside.
Yeah, well, the thing that was coolest about that scene was how it kind of, like, the transition from, like, that sort of hazy, weird, like, soft focus thing that they do a couple times, especially... Like
the weird transition they
do. Yeah, well, like, the queen falls off the cliff, and then the vultures are going after her.
Yep, yep, yep.
Fucking some death symbolism, then we come out of that into more death symbolism with the Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
Some intense shit, and it's so dark and, like, cloudy, and then to, like, the really bright, candle-lit environment of the vigil.
Oh, they had some really good ways of making it not too... intense. I mean, like, even though some of this stuff is really heavy and intense visually, they never show on screen someone dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll show, like, the apple rolling out of Snow White's hand after she bites it. They don't show her bite it and die. They show the queen falling, but they don't show her dying. They're showing the vultures go down. Like, there's some interesting filmmaking in this movie.
Yeah. No, I was surprisingly, you know, sort of not terribly displeased with this movie. And I guess that's one of the things we'll sort of...
that's high praise.
Really selling it here. No, but I guess that's one of the things that we'll probably explore with each of these films is just how good of a movie it is in terms of, like, pure cinema. You know, because Colin and I are, you know, fairly knowledgeable, without tooting our horn too much, film fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to give a little bit of background about us, since it's our first episode... Colin is a film studies graduate.
Yay.
Yay for
tuition. I studied
tuition.
Film, yeah. I paid money to let people talk to me and to write papers about movies.
Yeah.
Hooray.
So he's got a little bit of background, and I am a filmmaker of sorts.
No, you make films.
And then I make films. So, and I went to film school a little bit. I dabbled until I ran out of money.
To the best of us.
So we both have a background in film and film education. So... You know, not that that means we're by any means qualified to, like, tell people what good movies are, but, you know, just that we have our own preconceived notions of what good filmmaking is.
Well, beside that, even if we didn't, you know, have any education, again, that doesn't matter that much probably, but we've seen a lot of movies. We have a context for, you know, what might be good and what sucks dick.
Yeah. I don't know if you had this thought at any point, but... Some of the scenes with the queen are kind of like metal. Like, I was like feeling some. Like, I honestly, if there was like Iron Maiden pumping in halfway through that shit, I wouldn't have been suppressed.
Yeah. I wanted fucking Master of Puppets to come on. Like, when she was dipping that apple in the in the potion, it turns into a skull. It's awesome.
Yeah. So I guess that's a good jumping off point for just the general badassness / bro friendliness of this movie. Would you say, overall, bros, the prototypical bro could get down with this movie?
That's a tough call.
Yeah, it is a tough call.
I think I think, like, someone more bro-y than us. I mean, we have pretty open minds, I think. Someone who was less open to a little bit of cuteness here and there. Because there are a lot of cutesy parts in this movie.
Especially animal-related cutesiness. There's a lot of doe-eyed, bashful animals.
Which I absolutely ate up. I think Jason was getting a little uncomfortable about how adorable I was calling
everything. I'm not... I mean, I'm not really much of an animal guy, even in sort of anthropomorphic, you know, cartoon form. I'm not very, hey, let's get animals thumping around.
They're so cute.
Basically, I'm not looking forward to Bambi, is all I'm saying.
I can't wait for Bambi. I can't wait for the Sword and the Stone. Oh, my God.
The Sword and the Stone's awesome, but it's not because of the animals.
They're pretty cute, though. Anyway.
I digress.
I would say, for my money, this movie is more girly than not. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely a princess story first. But it's so riddled with this, like, heavy, dark stuff that you're not going to sit there as a dude and get bored watching it.
No, I was never really that bored watching it. It's short, so it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
One sort of detriment to it in terms of bro likability was the amount of song breaks.
Shoot.
And I actually made a running... tally of it. There's 12 quantified song breaks in it. Some of them are reprises of earlier songs, so it's not 12 original songs in general. It's just 12 song breaks. But in an 83 long minute movie, that's kind of a lot. That's more than one every 10 minutes.
I will happily admit that I hate musicals. And so this whole experiment might really, really blow up in my face. But it wasn't, I mean, the songs in Disney movies tend to be pretty decent. And yeah, there were a lot of them in here. But I think, like, if you can, as a dude watching this movie, can cruise through the first 20 minutes, okay, that's where a lot of the cutesy stuff happens.
Yeah.
If you can get to the first, like, get to that scene where she gets lost in the forest, that's going to help you get through the
Where she's tripping balls in the woods?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's going to help you cruise through the next couple scenes of, like, her getting cute with animals and then her cleaning up the house with the animals.
Yeah. Oh, while sort of the subject of the musical aspect of songs is on my mind, one thing I had beef with, so the very first instance of the dwarf singing hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, they're coming home from work.
Hi-ho.
And I didn't realize that when I was a child because, you know, I probably didn't realize what was actually happening the first time I saw it, but they're not going to work. It's very confusing. They sing in hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go when they're coming home from work.
They wrote one song and they rolled with it.
Yeah, but it seems like they would change it just a little bit. Can't you say it's off from work we... I mean, that doesn't grammatically work.
It's off
but,
from work we get.
Well, whatever. I just had a little bit of a beef with that.
I understand that, and it was funny to hear you complain about it. So.
Yeah, I have a tendency to complain about things. Yeah, so I would agree with your assessment. I would say it's mildly bro-y. It's definitely watchable for the average male, you know, mid-20s to early 30s male.
Yeah.
If that's sort of our definition of a bro.
Yeah, I'd go, you know, from 20 to 40.
Yeah. Just, you know, schlubby dudes.
This is our broad target audience.
Schlubby dudes could definitely hang with this movie. It's probably not going to be their favorite of the Disney films.
You will feel right at home when they first arrive at the dwarf's house, because that place is a fucking mess.
Oh, yeah, there's like, it actually reminded
there's
me of our
dishes
house.
Dishes everywhere.
Yeah, there's like dishes and dust and...
Yeah.
And there's like a very lengthy scene where they're like very sort of begrudgingly washing up for dinner.
Yeah.
And like that's sort of a very stubborn bro mentality. Yeah.
To call into question the logic of this film again, which is obviously ridiculous, I can't understand. Sneezy has a real problem with sneezing. He's been living in this house absolutely filled with dust.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest comments years. He made was the fact that how can he stand it? House?
Yeah, like I mean, like he's really got to be thinking it's like he stars they showed up.
Yeah, no, like I'm an allergy sufferer and myself, and even just seeing an animated film with like cobwebs and dust, I was like feeling allergy ridden myself, just sort of instinctually.
Yeah, no, the place was nasty. Ew, like, I don't know how he stood it. Can we go for one question real quick?
Sure.
That we haven't addressed yet.
Oh yeah.
What if you were a dude who was thinking of watching this movie with a girl? What kind of girl would you watch it with?
That's a good way to sort of to summarize things. I was trying to think about that while we were watching it, and honestly, I think the first thing that would be important not a girl that's super, super liberated or politically progressive. Because, like, the Snow White character is very, you know, she cooks, she cleans.
Yeah.
It's very traditional gender role. Sort of biased in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very much like, well, that's what women do. She agrees to clean and cook for them, and, you know.
She downright suggests it. She's like, I'll cook and I'll clean and I'll sew. And
Grumpy, as Grumpy says, all females is poison. So, so it's got that sort of, so, it, you know, I wouldn't want to watch it with a woman that's, like, super, hey, I just graduated with a feminism degree.
Yeah. Women's studies really treated me well.
Yeah. Cause
although they'd probably find it interesting.
She'd probably be crossing her arms and tapping her foot the whole time.
Sure.
Like, oh, I can't believe you're making me watch this outdated farce. an animal, like, a woman that's kind of into cutesy animalness. Yeah. Which is, you know,
an animal lover. An animal lover. Yeah. Someone who's into the whole princess thing, you know, has a princess fantasy and isn't too attached to, you know, again, to those, like, modern women's lib things. I sound like a real asshole saying this. I personally don't have problems with that.
No, I know, me neither.
But someone who can, like, separate themselves from, you know, the modern PC-ness and enjoy an old movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've dated girls in that sort of camp before. The more women's lib major type of vibe. And, you know, I love being with them. It was a good time. It wasn't any sort of awkwardness, but there was situations where we would be watching a movie and they couldn't just kind of roll with the conceit of, hey, it's the 30s, it's the 40s. Women kind of were treated this way culture, you know, in American culture, and they just have a real axe grind against it.
At the very least, you should be able to laugh at it, you know?
Yeah.
It's goofy. You know,
it's an outdated time. It's just kind of like the whole Huck Finn N-word thing. It's just like, you know, that was a different time. You can't really, you know, erase history.
Well, and that, I'll go ahead and say it in defense of my boy Mark Twain. That shit broke down walls.
Yeah.
Love you, Mark.
Oh, Marky Mark.
Sammy Clem.
Marky Mark, you my nigga. Oh, wow. Anyway. okay. But yeah, so I mean, sorry, the type of girl that you would want to watch this ideally with isn't very succinct from my end of it. But I would just say, yeah, kind of animally cutesy, friendly, and, you know, not super politically correct, serious, where they can't sort of roll with antiquated ideals.
Yeah, a feminist could absolutely watch this movie. Someone who's, like, staunchly feminist could watch this movie. As long as they've got a sense of humor and know that it's a different time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head.
But it's good. You should watch it, you know?
Yeah. It's not bad. I mean, my mind wandered a little bit from time to time during some of the more boring, goofy stuff. And a lot of the plot took its sweet time to sort of develop. Like, there's a lot of repetition. And there's a lot of scenes that don't really need to exist for as long as they need to exist. Mm-hmm. It's like the most tedious 83-minute long movie.
I wouldn't go that far. I've seen more tedious.
The hand-washing scene takes like 5 minutes, and it's just them washing their hands.
But isn't it delightful?
It sure is delightful. so I think that's, you know, a good stopping point. Do you feel like we've covered enough? Do we feel like we've given Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs its proper due?
Sure. Do we want to go ahead and do a final assessment now, like give it a rating, or should we hold off and like take a quick break here?
Maybe we'll drop in a quick, you know, a little soundbite.
Yeah. Maybe we'll drop in some samples of me singing earlier.
Yeah, maybe some samples of him singing.
Hopefully not.
You know, just another little taste of the movie. I'll let you collect yourself. Put this on pause if you're at work. Go get a snack.
Yeah. Rest your funny bones.
And then we'll come back with a very, you know, quick conclusion and then a little 1-2 send-off. We got a little surprise for you. And then we'll be back in a second on Disney Bros.
A whole new world. It's a whole new world.
Or you could sing it.
I'm not gonna.
On Disney Bros. On Disney Bros. On Disney. On Disney Bros. A whole new
world. I'll go myself to the dwarf's cottage in a disguise. So complete, no one will ever suspect. Now, a formula to transform my beauty into ugliness. Change my queenly raiment to a peddler's cloak. Mummy dust. to make me old, to shroud my clothes the black of night.
Alrighty, we are back. Alright, so let's ramp this thing up to a close here. Thanks for listening. Just real quick, you know, just to kind of give you an overview of where we're going from here, what this whole new world's all about.
Shoot.
What it's got in store in this magic carpet ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to try to watch...
A brand new place for you and me.
We're going to try to watch all of the Disney animated films that are currently under Disney's belt, which is like somewhere around the 50 neighborhood.
Yeah, the canon has 50 in it right now. There's apparently a Winnie the Pooh movie coming out this summer that's going to be number 51.
Yeah.
But right now it ends at Tangled, number 50. So, a nice round number.
Yeah, nice round number. Probably around weekly. You know, sometimes we'll be too busy to do it right every 7 days. But we're going to shoot for the ballpark of weekly.
We might not get one out on Yom Kippur.
Yes. Yom Kippur is going to be a crazy week for us. We're going to give up podcasting for Lent, so that's not going to happen.
So next year, watch your step.
From time to time, we'll have a guest or two to help us make sense of this crazy Disney world. You know, other friends of ours that do podcasts, comedians, just, you know, average citizens.
Some of our bros. Maybe get some ladies in. Get the lady touch.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, we don't want to give the impression that we're like women hating, you know, bros that are like, feminists are terrible. I don't know if anything we've said has been construed as that, but
hopefully not. I think anybody who knows us and is listening to this can probably vouch for us and say that we're a couple of good dudes. We love women,
yeah,
and not just in the
to a
sense.
Fault, actually.
Yeah, that makes it sound nice.
Yeah, we love women too much, but yeah. So that's kind of what the show has in store for you as a listener, and then so. With all these movies, we're going to sort of have a very general rating system. And to walk us through that is Mr. Colin Teal here.
Alrighty. So, I want to keep it interesting. Don't want to do just a 1 through 4 or 5 star system, because that's lame. So, we've got a 4-step system from the bottom to the top. And so, let's say, for example... You're hanging out with a lovely lady who wants to watch a Disney movie. Rightly
or,
so.
In the interest of fairness, another fellow.
Another fellow?
We're
just
cool
like
with that
we
here.
Did tonight?
Yeah.
If somebody's throwing out movie suggestions and they say, hey, let's watch such and such, use this scale to judge whether or not you want to watch this or maybe try for something else. Petition for a different show.
Yeah.
So at the bottom end, we've got the bro beware rating.
Yeah. That would basically be the lowest...
Yeah.
Notch. That's avoid this if you can.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no Disney movie that really falls into this category, but it's entirely possible.
I could think of a couple off the top of my head that would for
they
me.
They weren't a bro beware?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll cross those bridges when we come to them.
Sure.
We'll certainly. Cross those foot bridges when we come to them.
Great.
But, there's foot bridges in Snow White, guys. That was a joke I made.
Little Snow White gag. But yeah, I think that kind of speaks for itself. You know, if this movie comes along and someone's trying to rope you into it, you know, just try to avoid. Try to avoid that footbridge if you can help
it. Yeah, if you're in a video store or you're, you know, browsing through your Netflix, but you should be going to a video store. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Ooh.
RIP Blockbuster.
Really?
Not really.
Okay.
No, but support your local brick and mortar video
absolutely.
Store for the love of God. They need your support. But, yeah, if you're in a video store and, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever says, hey, let's rent this, you would say, no, let's maybe not.
Yeah.
And how about this? We'll give you alternative suggestions when
right.
we hit upon a bro beware.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So bro beware, stay away.
All right. Next one? Next on the list?
Next on the list is broceptible.
Yes.
Broceptible, it's my favorite named rating, but it is not the best rating.
No.
It's better than a bro beware. It's broceptible. If it comes
it's just
down,
what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
If you get a broceptible, it's like, yeah, okay, well, we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be your number one choice.
Yeah.
But it's perceptible.
Yeah, it's like the Thai joint that is like right around the corner from your house.
Sure.
And you don't love it, but it's decent.
It's
like
food. It makes you full.
Exactly. It's that cinematically. It's a cinematic version of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one above, notch above that.
A notch above perceptible is when you start getting to the real cream of the crop. Those are our due-to-prove movies.
Yes.
And this is a concept that between Jason and I goes back a ways.
Yeah.
We do to prove things. We've been doing it since 2008.
Yeah.
No literally joke. 3 years ago.
That is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. We have due to prove things for a while.
Yes.
It started with an art gallery, and it's going to end with Disney films.
Might not end.
Let's be honest. It's not going to end with that.
But yeah, if you get a due to prove, you know you're in safe territory.
Yeah.
You're going to be entertained. You might learn something.
Yeah, but lest you think that's the end of this system, you're dead wrong.
Au contraire.
No. Because there's one more notch.
When you do to prove something, you can take one more step, take it to the max.
Yeah.
Do to proved to the max. That's our best rating, number one. That's the cream of the crop.
That's probably going to be very rare. I have a feeling Bro Beware and do to prove to the max are going to be like the polar ends. Yes. There might be only be one of each.
I can think of a do to prove to the max off the top of my head. Of course, it's a two-person gig here, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah. But so that's going to be an interesting... Well, hopefully. I'm making it. I'm really trying to sell it hard here.
Get excited.
Yeah, get excited, everybody. What are they going to rate it?
We might fight about it.
Well, so let's just stop being around the bush just say, personally for me, I would say Snow White and the Seven Dwarves is broceptible.
Really? Just broceptible?
It's not my favorite Disney film. I would maybe, if I had to like really qualify it, I would say somewhere between broceptible and dude approved.
Sure.
A little more on the dude approved side of the fence if there was like a line in the sand. But, you know, if I had to choose, I would say broceptible.
Alrighty. I think, for me, it's dude approved. Based on the history of it, it's the first deal. It paved the way for all the other Disney movies. And there's some really, like, badass shit in it. Like, the scenes with the queen, her death, the poison mixing, the transformation. The hallucinatory flight through the woods is crazy and awesome. Oh, I didn't even drop one of my favorite scenes. One of my favorite scenes in the whole movie is when the dwarves put on this crazy concert for Snow White, and they're all rocking out, like Grumpy's playing the nice totem pole organ.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff in it. I'm a more harsh critic than you, I think, in general.
That's a true story, absolutely.
So, like...
I'm your Ebert.
Yeah, everybody out there, take what I say with a grain of salt. I am the grumpy, and Colin is the doc amongst the both of us. What do you want to be, the sneezy?
Given my bumbling, ridiculous answers, I'm kind of the doc.
Okay, well, I guess we should talk about that very, very briefly, because we're running long here. But Doc is pretty fucking dumb. I don't understand what his shtick is. He's just bumbling. He doesn't even have a cutesy nickname.
He's constantly flubbing his lines. He's supposed to be like the leader. I guess, you know, when they were blocking out these characters, they wanted Doc to be the clear leader, but kind of a bumbling, pompous guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really comes off as pompous, but he definitely comes off as bumbling.
Yeah, he barely forms a coherent
thought. Yeah, he can hardly talk. One time when shortly after they meet Snow White, he says, blah, 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 what are you and who are you doing? And I thought it was some like weird purposeful Freudian slip when he said, who are you doing?
Yeah, that was weird.
But yeah, he can't, like, he tries real hard, too hard even.
Yeah.
And he's a decent fellow, I'm sure. I just don't want to be him.
Yeah, Doc wasn't my favorite. But
I'd rather be a happy or a sleepy.
Yeah, I digress.
Even a bashful.
So,
anyway.
So my personal rating is receptible. Colin is
I'm going to do to prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's basically Snow White in summation. Good night, everybody. We're going to leave you with this episode and with all our episodes with a nice... pop song, a song that sort of encapsulates what this movie has to say at its core. At first I was going to suggest A Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Makes sense.
But, you know, that's kind of superficial. After watching the film Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, it's kind of a minor thing. It's not really, doesn't have that much to say about it. Colin, on the other hand, has quite more powerful suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this movie is all about the dwarfs. Just like Disney and his writers meant it to be from the start.
Mm.
These guys have a hard time, you know. They're sweet guys. They treat her well. They get ditched in the end. And so, I mean, sort of, I don't mean it to sound like I'm ragging on them or anything, but the song that first came to mind was Randy Newman's Short People.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. I mean, like, it's funny. And it's sadly true.
Yeah. As a man of 5'7", I would agree. It sucks being short, man.
Sadly true. I should never have said that.
Yes, I'm short. But that's fine. We all have our differences. Yeah. We're all special snowflakes.
Yeah, just like Dopey.
Just like Snow White. Okay, dumb joke. Sorry, everybody. Anyway, so we're going to leave you with Randy Newman's short people. Yep. You know, in your mind's eye, imagine those dwarves scampering through the woods while the song is playing us out.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Hope you keep on listening. Thank you.
Good night.
And God bless.